Blog Talk Radio.
Checking in?
Yeah.
You remembered her favorite binky, right?
Binky.
You forgot the binky?
I forgot the binky!
Tragic. Hashtag binky dad. OMG guys, he forgot the binky.
Hey, it's binky dad! Hey, go away, go away!
Our top story. A father has forgotten the binky, but he is capturing hearts.
Binky Dad needs an escort.
Come on, Binky Dad!
Binky Dad, you're my hero.
He got the Binky! Okay.
Binky.
She only likes the blue one.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune in to all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Me, 'cause I am super.
Welcome and good evening to all my superhuman super mamas out there. This is a product of WBNN. This is Gems, and I'm your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp. We are on air live from Lagos. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today, it feels great to be back on the airwaves from this long maternity leave, and I'm going to bring you some fire content along with my co-host tonight, Miss Renee Davis. But before we jump in, let me give you a little bit more background on who Renee Davis is. Renee Davis has been an international board-certified lactation consultant since 2011. Prior to becoming an IBCLC, she served as a breastfeeding peer counselor for her local Women, Infants, and Children program, also known as WIC. She joined Rumpeltuff in 2018 and is currently the director of lactation. Renee sees patients at Covenant Chiropractic and Wellness, a pediatric medical group focusing on oral restrictions. During her career, she has served as a doula and a midwifery assistant. She has helped families with a wide range of lactation concerns, such as pumping, oral restrictions, latch issues, supply issues, relactation, and transitioning back to work and school, and focuses on pumping through Rumpeltuff. Most importantly, Renee is a mother of 4 children and a grandmother to several. She is raising a family in central Missouri, where she resides with her husband of nearly 30 years and 16-year-old daughter, the last one home. Woohoo, y'all. So without further ado, let's bring on this phenomenal woman, a firecracker like myself, Renee Davis.
Thank you so much, Genesis. Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
My pleasure, Renee. And audience, tonight, Renee and I, we have an overarching theme. It's salute to motherhood journey. But we're also going to talk about a little bit of our personal experiences so you get a gist of who we are. We're going to talk about pumping from start to finish, knowing what pump is best for you, knowing if you have the proper tools to be successful on your pumping journey, because some of you may feel like pumping is not right for you, but you may not have the necessary tools and resources that you need in order to be successful, and all of that jazz. We're going to just really lean in and have a fun, vibrant conversation, but also talk about things that need to be addressed so you know you're not alone in this situation. But Renee, I want to thank you so much for sitting down and having this conversation as we educate the audience tonight. So outside of your bio, do you want to share some fun and interesting facts about yourself before we dive into this powerful conversation?
Oh, well, I don't feel like there's a lot of me that's fun and interesting. I'm just like, I'm like the mom of all the kids in the neighborhood, right? Like my kids are growing up and they've moved on, but all of their friends have been around and I've mom bombed them for many years. And the funny thing is, like, they're all getting up into their 20s and they still come home and love on me and let me mom bomb them when maybe they won't let their parents mom bomb them. So it's been a great journey. It's funny to transition from I've been known as Mama D, and now I'm like transitioning to the grandma, you know. So it's kind of a different life path, but the whole time I've been here to support kids as they grow and support families as they become families. And it's been my honor to be the other adult in a lot of kids' lives. I remember several years ago I heard a fact that if the LGBTQ community has if the kids in that community have one supportive adult, they're less likely to commit suicide, like by 40%. And I it like hit me so deeply. And I made the commitment to myself and to all the other kids around that if I ever have the opportunity to be a supportive adult, that's what I'm going to be. So that's what I'm here. I'm doing that.
I love that. And thank you for sharing that. And it is great that, you know, not only are you a mother to your children, but you're also an extended mother to those out there who may not have that motherly figure in their life. So they're not going absent. And, you know, I want to cue this up for you as well as the audience, because the first song y'all heard was a powerful song to start us off on a high note tonight, which was by Alicia Keys, Superwoman. So how do you feel being a superwoman that's in the International Board Certified Lactation Consultant world? Because I'm sure a lot of people from the outside looking in, they're like, do I even need a lactation consultant whenever, you know, they give birth to their precious bundle of joy? Do you honestly think that's a question of theirs? Because they may not know what it is.
Yeah. I do believe that we have not yet realized the importance of lactation consultants. I think so many people reach out to their doctors and to their mothers and to their grandmothers for lactation support. And those people have wonderful information to offer. But when you think that most pediatricians have like 9 hours of lactation training when they sit for their certifications, you know, lactation consultants have thousands of hours, and people don't understand that. And I get that. I mean, we are a culture that relies on doctors, and doctors, I'm not denigrating that at all. Doctors are a wealth of knowledge, but when you need a specialist, you need a specialist. And when you ask a doctor for lactation advice, it's not that they're ignorant, because they are truly wonderful people. They just don't have the training that a lactation consultant would have. And so I feel like part of the struggle is to just get people to understand that we do know more about lactation than most other people. And it's worth the effort to find the right lactation consultant to help you in the situation that you have. It's worth it. It's worth, like, if you had a problem with your foot, you would go to a podiatrist, right? So
correct.
If you have a problem with breastfeeding, you go to a lactation consultant. But we're hard to find. I get it. It's hard to find people who truly understand the ins and outs of lactation.
I love that. And I want to share some context before we dive deep into the conversation, because I always believe it's great to start with definition so those joining in can understand exactly what is a lactation consultant, because it's not to be confused with another profession. And the more they have knowledge and understanding around it, it will make it better for them not only to advocate for themselves, but also those in their life who may need a lactation consultant. Can you explain that, Renee?
Yeah, so an International Board Certified Lactation Consultant is kind of the highest level of training when it comes to breastfeeding. And when we think about the human body, we have lots of different specialists, right? Like, we have people who specialize in different areas of concern. Like, if you need somebody to help you with your kidneys, or if you need somebody to help you with your eyes or your teeth. And so the International Board Lactation Consultant, International Board Certified Lactation Consultant, is the person that is there to help the breastfeeding dyad. It's the difference in our profession is that we don't just help the baby and we don't just help the mother. We see them as the same patient. It's the dedication to the two together, because it's truly a beautiful dance between the mother and the baby that happens. And there are concerns about one or the other or both together that need to be addressed by a person who understands the way they work together. And it's a beautiful dance, and it deserves to be honored, and it deserves to be studied more than it has been.
And I'm just here trying to bring the two together, continue. I'm not here to bring the two together. Let me rephrase that. I'm here to help the two to stay together.
Yes, to mirror the two, but also make it savory experience, if I had that correct. And I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing, because you and I have talked several times before, and you actually helped me. I think whenever you and I did a virtual consultation, you were probably, I think, the third or fourth lactation consultant that I spoke to outside of, you know, the hospital lactation consultants. I think I saw three different ones after I had my daughter. So it's impressive, because a lot of people don't seek out that knowledge, and it was very important to me that I got the support that I needed prior to being discharged from the hospital a little over, you know, 6 months ago. So
yeah.
Renee, we're going to do another track, but before we do, let me just, you know, preempt the audience for those of you who may have jumped on late. We are on air live from Lagos. You could dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation, which is being brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. I am the host, Genesis Amaris Camp, and my lovely guest tonight is Renee Davis, an IBCLC, which is an International Board Certified Lactation Consultant. Now we're going to the track by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting lifetime achiever DJ Olasky.
Baby fly, you've given me everything.
Wow, what an amazing song for the commercial break. Thank you so much, DJ Olasky, for playing that. It really sets the tone and the atmosphere of tonight because moms, mamas, mothers, we are truly invincible. Even though we may not be a superhero per se because we don't have an S on a on our chest or a W, we are somebody's superwoman, superhero, and we do phenomenal things, and our body is phenomenal, in my opinion. So, Renee, welcome back to the show, and guests, welcome back in. If you just tuned in, you can join Renee and I on this powerful conversation by dialing in at 516-453-9133 and pressing 1 to join the conversation. Once again, it's being brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. So, Renee, let's dive in further into this conversation. We know that you're an IBCLC. We also know by the bio that you have numerous years of experience working with WIC as well as helping people with oral restrictions, just making sure they're setting their babies up for success. But one of the things you love to focus on is breast pumping, along with some other things. So do you want to dive in to breast pumping right now, or do you want to just build up conversation? Because there is a lot that goes into it, mentally, physically, and emotionally, and it's important that mothers know that they are supported.
Oh, my. That's quite a question. So, you know, I think that there's a lot that goes into it. You know, we have our babies, and the burden and the blessing of keeping them alive weighs heavily on the feeding of those babies. And we are in a system where we mostly have those children in a very calculated environment where we come into the hospital system and we have medications on board and we have timelines, and all of those things play a role in how the beginning of breastfeeding goes for generations. That beginning was very tender, and it was very quiet, and it was just between the mother and the infant. And now we have all of these interventions that are needed or unneeded and expected or unexpected. And so that changes the trajectory of how the whole relationship is going to happen. You know, we have, you know, I come from a, please note, all of my children were born in the hospital setting with lots of medication interventions. But after that happened, I was very fortunate to join a community where I worked with a midwife in a Mennonite community, and I also became a doula. And a doula is a non-medical support person that helps with labor and delivery. It's all about the family. My role was, in my opinion, to strengthen the mother and the partner to be the best that they could be in that position. And it's proven that doulas decrease the trauma of delivery and decrease the amount of pain, literally the amount of pain that the mother has. And so that in itself decreases the amount of medication, and the amount of medication that mom or the birthing parent has on board when the baby delivers has a definite effect on how well breastfeeding pans out. And when I had my first baby, I thought, well, I'm just going to breastfeed, right? And that was it. Like, I didn't understand that there were things I needed to look out for and guidelines that needed to be followed. And I didn't have the support that I needed. And so we miss that a lot of times. We have these very medicalized
deliveries, and I am in no way demeaning anyone that has a baby in the hospital. There are very good reasons for that, and just a mother's choice to do that is reason enough to have a baby in the hospital. But sometimes that support system isn't what it needs to be because we don't have the training. And in their defense, these nurses are dealing with so much. It's not just about breastfeeding.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I totally, my husband is a nurse. And so I understand that they go through a lot and they have a lot of responsibility and training can only be so much. But then when it comes down to breastfeeding, it's a long-term commitment and it's a long-term need for support from the very beginning throughout the early weeks and thereafter. And so we need, sometimes we need specialized intervention. And remember, as a lactation consultant, I'm seeing the people that have issues, right? So there are tons of people out there that don't have issues. So I'm just mostly privy to the experience of people that don't have the experiences that go the way they want to. So,
and I love that you said
hole.
That. No.
Yeah.
This is really great, Renee, because I love the fact that you mentioned all this because think about the added complexity for those moms who delivered, you know, pre-pandemic versus post-pandemic or all of that, and imagine the hospital being inundated with so many patients but understaffed with the people that they needed. And let's be honest, a lactation consultant in a hospital, I think where I delivered, there were only three on staff, and it was, you know, a reputable hospital. And I remember the first day after delivering, I didn't see a lactation consultant, and I was very adamant about advocating, like, I want a lactation consultant, because the first thing that I said to myself and my husband was the breast is the best, because I wanted to make sure the baby was latching on, because I know, like, some places, and depending on what your background is and socioeconomic status or your color is, they'll be like, do you want the formula?
Yes.
And I'm like, no, I want to give my baby my natural boobs and it's free to breastfeed. Like,
right.
And so I think 24 hours pass, no consultant. Then I'm over here telling my husband, no, I need someone in the room now. Like, I've never, you know, popped out a baby or had a baby pulled out. And I had a natural delivery, and I just thought about all the things I heard in my classes whenever I was, you know, getting the knowledge in order to deliver, you know, my daughter. And they're like, oh, someone's going to come. And I'm like, when? And I was just very adamant every time I saw a nurse, not like to where I was nagging, but it's so important to advocate for yourself. I was like, I want a lactation consultant to come to my room because now it's very critical. My liquid goal, which is colostrum, y'all, I didn't want to waste that. I see things leaking out of my nipples, which is like some women see it as a dark, yellowy, sticky substance, but it's the best thing to have your baby build up their immunity. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Renee. So I wanted to make sure
you're
I was getting, you know, those precious elements into my daughter because, you know, I want to, you know, set her up for success. So my question here is, you think about pre-pandemic and you think about post-pandemic and you think about lactation consultants in the hospital setting, but you also think about them outside of the hospital setting because let's be honest here, some women may not necessarily have it covered under their insurance, so they may have to pay out of pocket, which may not be, you know, conducive to them based on what their budgetary constraints are. So how can we as women, you and I, but also mothers and us being some form of expert in our own respective areas, really show these mothers out here that you can make some sacrifices if needed, or if you don't necessarily have the funds, there are, you know, organizations out there that will help you get the resources that you need by providing them with a pump, by giving them lactation consulting or counselors and et cetera, because I want them to know that there is something out there for you and it does not have to break the bank.
So you just like cracked open like 50 million things I would like to talk about.
Let's talk about them.
Yeah. So first of all, breastfeeding is the biological norm, right? And so, yes, lactation consultants are important. But I am fortunate enough to teach part of the women's health class at our local university, and the average nurse should understand basic lactation because it is the biological norm. So we should not always be counting on a lactation consultant to help us. The person that walks into your room for labor and delivery and postpartum should understand basic lactation. We should not have to expect special training to help us with a biological norm. However, we do. I live in my local community. We have two hospitals. One of them has a lactation consultant on staff. One lactation consultant on staff. She is so wonderful, and I love her dearly, and I can see her face in my mind right now. But she works Monday through Friday, regular business hours, and the hospital does not employ a lactation consultant in the evenings or on the weekends. The other hospital doesn't even employ a lactation consultant for their postpartum patients. So it's just insane how lacking this care is. And as far as people with health disparities, my history is in WIC, and my heart is with the people who cannot access the care that they need. And number one in my book is always the Women, Infants, and Children's Program. I started there back in 2001, and I was so fortunate to be a breastfeeding peer counselor. And breastfeeding peer counselors have to operate in a very strict set of guidelines. And so they don't go outside of those guidelines, but they can help with minor issues. And most breastfeeding issues are minor issues. If we can get a breastfeeding dyad really early on, we can help them with the basic things that keep them from needing very intricate help later. But we know that just now, if there is a medical situation where there is a pediatrician that is operating with a lactation consultant, that the hospital system can bill for those lactation consultant services through insurance, which is very important. But there are some times where those lactation consultant services cannot be accessed, and it makes me want to scream because I feel like I've been over here like preaching the gospel of we deserve this basic information and this basic help. And yet when it comes to the healthcare system, so often it's not provided. So, you know, you first reach out to WIC. And also, you know, like you said, I think you said that I work for Rumbletop, a breast pump company, and one of the things that we as a company do is we provide pumping support for families using our breast pumps, and that's really important. It's not the best case scenario for everyone because there's a lot of intervention that needs to happen before a person is relying on pumping support, right? Like there should be things that happen before a parent needs to rely on that. But if a person is using our pump, then I can help them stabilize their milk supply and help refer them back to a lactation consultant in their community. And so often people don't even know what those resources are. And we often rely on our mothers or our neighbors for support, and they are wonderful, loving support people. But when it comes to lactation support, sometimes that's more specialized than that, and we need to be able to reach out to those people who have a more vast knowledge. And I needed that. That's why I'm here, is because I needed it, and I couldn't find it. But remember, I had babies before Google. because I am a grandma. So now we have Google and we can find international board certified lactation consultants, and we can find the WIC programs in our community. And WIC has really stepped up to the plate to help people who are compromised financially to be able to reach out and find those support people in their communities. They do it better than any other support organization, in my opinion, in the country. Like they're a federally supported program, and I strongly support and encourage any family that's getting ready to bring a baby in their lives. Before you bring the baby in, if you're able to qualify for WIC, get on the WIC program so you can have access to those people. And if you're not, find the other resources so that you know the person that you're going to reach out to if you have problems before you have problems, because it's so much easier to reach out to the people that you know already.
Yes, absolutely. Just building the rapport and not going without the resources and the services that you need. And for all you mamas out there listening, or grandmothers, or whatever your current respective title is, I'm so glad that you're taking in this information and this knowledge tonight that Renee is sharing, because you may need it right now, you may need it later on, or you may need it to, you know, be a human vehicle to pass it on to somebody else that is going through this particular journey and season of life. And as I mentioned earlier, and Renee, you know, commented, yes, she does work for Rumble Tough, but she has a lot of experience outside of Rumble Tough, along with what she's doing now with Rumble Tough. And I'm actually a user of their pump. I use the Breeze pump. And one thing that I did like, Rumble Tough is one, their product comes with a 2-in-1 if you order the Breeze. It has a nipple ruler, which was phenomenal, because I had no idea how important it was to measure the diameter of your nipples, which is important for whenever you are using a flange to ensure that you are comfortably pumping. And Renee and I actually had a virtual consultation, which it was hilarious when I think you and I first met. The baby was screaming. I'm like, do I take off my bra now? Do you want to see me? You're probably like, yeah, that's what a lactate is, what I'm here to do.
That's what I do. Yes, yeah. You know, the thing is that a lot of people, so I've been in lactation a long time, and we have been preaching the gospel of flange fit for a really, really long time. And people don't understand, and first of all, let's define what a flange is, because a lot of people don't understand. So a flange is the part of the breast pump that comes in contact with your breast. And a lot of people don't understand that your nipple is the part that protrudes from your areola. So you have your breast and you have the darker part on your breast, that's the areola, and the part that becomes erect is the nipple. And so often I hear people say, I have huge nipples. And in all reality, they don't. They have larger areolas, but their nipples are smaller. And so the flange ruler is a die-cut ruler that goes over the nipple so that you can measure that size. Because if your flange is too large, more of your breast tissue goes down into the flange. And it's kind of like a straw. If you you clamp down a straw, the amount of liquid that goes through that straw is not as much. And so if you have more of your areola in that flange because it's too large, then you don't express as much milk. And for so long in the lactation community, we have shunned the idea of pumping, right? And we live in the United States, and a vast majority of women go back to work after they have babies. And the biggest, there's a pressure point where they're thinking, okay, so breastfeeding's going okay, but how do I get my milk to the baby when I'm away from them? And pumping is the key to that. And so we need to have a lot of education as to what happens when you pump and how
does that process go, and how often do I pump, and like what does pumping mean, and how, like there's a faster cycle and there's a slower cycle, and when do I use them, and how long do I pump, and all of that stuff. And basic education needs to happen there, but we don't normally pass that along in our culture, right? It's not something that we're talking about a lot, and we need to talk about it more, because women are in the workplace and women are rocking it in the workplace, but we need more support to know how to bridge the gap between the workplace and home. And so that's what a lot of what I focus on with Rumble Tough, but also in my own practice with Covenant Pediatrics in Jefferson City, Missouri. So take the time to learn about pumping, because it's not necessarily easy, and it's not like when we breastfeed a baby, there's a lot of hormonal interaction that happens and a lot of instinctual behaviors that come into that. But because we're human beings, we've not fully embraced pumping into that normal process. So we need guidance in that, and that's okay to need guidance. It's normal to need help with breastfeeding and pumping, and taking the time to find somebody that really understands that is worth the weight in gold, because then you know what to do in that traumatic situation where you're dropping your baby off at daycare and you have to do something while you're working to maintain the life of your baby while you're away, you know. And and you mentioned the pandemic earlier, and we know that postpartum depression rates have skyrocketed since then, and a lot of that is related to leaving the baby in daycare and the parent being away from the baby. And so guidance in that pumping arena is extremely important for the mother's peace and for the baby's health.
Yes, it very much is. And when we get back from our commercial break, we're going to talk about, you know, pumping from start to finish, just so the audience tuning in can kind of get an overarching view of what exactly it is, what does it look like, so we could set them up for success. And then I want us to highlight a little bit about the importance of maybe doing a combination, but not only just breastfeeding, but also pumping, just so they can make sure that they're having a variety of things in place, because now we have the pumping act that just, you know, happened. But before we go into details, I'm going to reset the stage. So for those of you that have just joined in, we're on air live from Lagos. You can dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. But we're going to queue up our next track by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Lifetime Achiever DJ Olasky.
Come with
song you just heard was Queen Nyjah, Mama's Hand. And for those of you that just dialed in and tuned in, I am your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp. This is a WBNN product, and we are on air live all the way from Lagos. You could dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. My co-host tonight is Renee Davis. She is an international board-certified lactation consultant, also a Rumble Tough Director of Lactation. And her and I have spent some time talking about this powerful subject. And now we're going to cue up What is Pumping, start to finish, to give you the tools and resources you need to be successful in your journey, because let's be honest, it is a journey. And when your boobs are getting sucked, pulled, tugged, all of that jazz between a pump and your baby who's, you know, latching on to nursing, it can be tiresome, but there are tools and mom hacks and tips and tricks for you to be successful. So, Renee, welcome back. How do you feel?
You know what? I feel so thankful to be here. And I want to point out something about that song, you know, that the song says, I'm going to be all that you need. And that's so important. But moms need to remember that we deserve time of restoration ourselves. Right? Like, we have these kids who are sucking on us and taking all of our energy. That restoration time for mothers during this process is so important. Yes, we need to be all that our babies need, but we also need to take time to take care of ourselves.
Yes, self-care is vital, and it's the best care. In order for you to be whole and optimal for somebody else, you must first love yourself and spend time doing something that is edifying you and building you up so you're not breaking down. And, you know, pumping as well as breastfeeding and all of that jazz, it can be emotionally, mentally, physically, and even spiritually draining, but you do it because you have this amazing human being that you brought into this world that absolutely depends on you. This human being didn't ask to be here. You brought him or her here. So it is your rightful duty and duly to do whatever you can to make sure this human being who loves you and is depending on you gets the best optimal and vital care necessary.
Yes. So let's talk about pumping.
Yes.
So where do we want to start?
So, you know what I want to start with is, you know, why is it important to pump? But then I also want to highlight, you know, the Pumping Act. And the reason why I want to highlight the Pumping Act, because it just passed, and some moms out there, you may not be aware of it, and your employer may not be up to 100% compliance on it, letting them have a safe, conducive environment for you to pump in outside of the freaking bathroom. In my opinion, pumping in the bathroom is not okay. I know that, you know, women have done it, but it doesn't make you feel relaxed if you hear a toilet flushing and gurgling and whatnot. And where the hell are you going to pump, you know, safely and securely without being grotesque, in my opinion? Like, I haven't had to do that. But whenever someone told me they pumped in the bathroom, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
You know what?
I'm sorry, but that's just
totally. I agree. But we have lots of families that are dealing with just whatever they can deal with, you know? So I am thankful for the Pumping Act, and I think it's going to support lots and lots of different people, but there are still people who are dealing with the worst case scenario. And if you are that person, I give you kudos and I love you and stay strong, because no matter where you're pumping, you are doing the best thing for your baby. For sure. So where do we start? Right? So where do we start? We have this new little baby, and
I think that a lot of parents think that they need to pump all of this milk so that when they go back to work, they have all this milk for their babies. But that's not necessarily true. You know, what we need to do is we need to have enough milk for the first couple of days. Because then when you go to work, you need to be pumping each day what your baby needs that day. So we've got all these people on Facebook that are posting, I pumped 427,632 ounces of milk for my baby, and I have it in this huge chest freezer in my garage, and I'm superwoman. You don't need that. You don't need that much milk. You just need a day or two, because when you, you drop your baby to work on Monday, you need the milk for that Monday. But while you're at work on Monday, you're going to pump the milk that you need for the baby, and you're going to use that milk you pump on Monday for their life on Tuesday. So there's not a whole lot of storage involved, and there's a lot of pressure when it comes to that milk storage. And I think a lot of women end up over pumping and feeling the burden of pumping before they go back to work, and it interferes with the relationship that they have with their baby before they go back to work. So what we want to do is we want to, you want me to give you my plan for people going back to work? Would that be good?
Yeah, I think that'll be great, because then we're covering it with all moms, no matter if they're at home right now pumping or if they're getting ready to repatriate back to the workforce.
So my thought is that after the milk comes in, which is usually between day like 2 and 3, that you pump in the morning. So you wake up in the morning and you nurse baby on one side and you pump off the other. And the side that you pump off of, you store that milk, but then you nurse the baby on the side that you pumped on. Because your body is in that very beginning stage, that your body's determining how much milk you need to make for your baby on a regular basis. So you take that extra milk out of the baby on that first breast. So your baby is telling your body that you want just a little bit more. And then the next time you feed the baby that day, you nurse on the side that you pumped the last time, and you pump on the side that you didn't. And then you store the milk from that pumping, and you pump the baby on the other breast. So you're, in essence, you're pumping each breast once a day. And that, from day 3 to when you go back to work. And so you're getting a little bit of extra stash each day. Not a whole lot. You're not overdoing your supply unless it's medically necessary. That's a whole different ballgame. And so you have to...
Renee, do you mind if I interject really quick to just add a clarifying question here?
Sure.
So, okay, if you are pumping on one breast and then you're nursing the baby on one breast, I want to bust a myth or a fact here. So I know some mothers have heard, okay, once you're done nursing your baby, you should pump right after to get out the excess milk. Is that recommended for those who have, just gotten back home from the hospital, or they're trying to boost their milk supply? Would you say this is a no-go or it's a go?
Well, I would say that if you have a healthy baby and a healthy body, we don't want to be pumping consistently after feeding, because then you're asking your body for more of a supply than what you need. So what I'm saying is just pumping that extra milk off of one breast at the first feeding and the other breast at the second feeding. So you're only doing that once a day, right? So that you're only taking that milk out of one breast at one feeding and the other breast at the other feeding. So it's only one time. Because if you get into the habit of pumping after every single feeding, what you're doing is you're telling your body that you need a lot more milk than what you really do. And I know we over-glorify the oversupply, right? Like we're like these people with these huge freezers full of food or full of milk, and we don't want to have that, because then like, what are you going to do when you go out with your baby at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and pump? Like when you're in a Walmart parking lot, you don't want to have to deal with that. So if you have a fully healthy baby and a fully healthy milk supply, you don't need to do that. If there are some situations where it's medically necessary, and that's when a lactation consultant should get involved. But realistically, no, we don't need all that extra food. If you're pumping each breast one time a day extra, then you're going to have a little bit of extra milk because we know that stress can cause a reduction in milk supply when you return to work. But if you've been pumping that little bit of extra every day, then you can handle that stress hit on your milk supply and still have the extra that you need to compensate for that. So, no, I say that's a no-go unless you want to be a slave to a breast pump. And, you know, I work for a breast pump company, and I think they're great, but I don't want when they should be snuggling their baby instead.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So what we want to do then, you've got a little bit of extra supply, and then when you return to work, if you live very far from work, hopefully you have a breast pump that has a rechargeable battery, like the Rumble Tough Breeze, or there are several that have rechargeable batteries, then you can pump as you drive to work. So that's your first pumping. A couple of hours later, pump again. On your lunch break, pump again. Once in the afternoon, pump again. And unless you are going to be in a situation where you are reunited with your baby and you're nursing right away, pump on your way home from work. So that should be an excellent schedule to follow to maintain a good milk supply. And as far as a pumping session goes, I can go into full detail about what that pumping session should look like, but do you have other questions before I get there, Genesis?
So as far as, you know, all the information that you shared and the pumping schedule, I think having a pumping schedule is beneficial so moms know and they're not just inundated with all the information that they see on social media. So I would love if you could kind of share that, especially since this is your profession, and just let them know, hey, I'm trained, I'm paid, and this is what I do for my clients.
Yeah, so, you know, the thing about a pumping session, like, we're like, pump for 15 minutes, right? So maybe that's what your body needs, and maybe it's not. So when you first start pumping, so breast pumps have usually two different settings, stimulation and expression. And stimulation is a little faster setting, and expression is a little slower setting. So when baby first goes to breast, they do the suck, 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 suck pattern. And what that does is it sends a message to your brain that you should have an oxytocin release. And that oxytocin is the hormone that causes your milk to spray. So when your milk starts to spray, the pump slows down, just like the baby slows down. The baby goes to suck, swallow, breathe, suck, swallow, breathe. So when you're pumping, you start with that faster setting, which is stimulation. So it sucks, 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 sucks while your milk is dripping. And then when your milk starts spraying, you should press the button or wherever it is on your pump to slow the cycle down. So that when you're spraying, the cycle is longer. So it sucks, sucks, so that spray happens for a longer amount of time. And then your body is going to get done with that oxytocin release. And so you're going to go back to dripping. And when you're dripping, your pump setting should be faster. So it should go back to that suck, 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 until you start to spray again. And then it should slow down where it's spraying. Spraying, and you're going to watch that in your body. So there's not like it, what would be really great is if I could say pump for 15 minutes and then the first two minutes on stimulation, the next four on expression. Like, it doesn't work like that. Every body is different. And so you've got to watch your body, and you should be in a faster setting when you're dripping and the slower setting when you're spraying. And you go back and forth during a pumping session.
Usually the average pumping session is between 10 to 20 minutes. You should not be pumping longer than that. If you are, you should get a hold of me and schedule an appointment. So we can figure that out. But remember that the oxytocin that you're releasing that causes your milk to spray, this is going to get a little shady here. Oxytocin is the same hormone you release have an orgasm, right? And it's also the same hormone that you release to have contractions when you're delivering the baby. So if you think about how stressed out you can be and have a really great orgasm, which is not very, right? So when you're spraying, yeah, I bring in all the sex in because sex got you into this and sex is going to get you out. So when you're relaxing and you're having the spray of milk release, you need to be really relaxed. Just like you're really relaxed for that orgasm, you need to be really relaxed for that pumping session, right? So you will have more milk release and easier milk release if you're really relaxed during that time. And that oxytocin release will allow you to release more milk, and then you're going to go back to that stimulation mode where your body's asking for that next oxytocin release. And so when you have a restriction of that oxytocin release, you have a restriction of milk release. And when you have a restriction of milk release, then over time, that can reduce milk supply. So that's why I encourage people who are pumping to do meditation or just like watch a video of the baby while the baby's nursing, or smell the baby's the baby's like night clothes from the night before so you can smell the baby. Or, you know, we have on our rumbletop.com a pumping meditation that guides you through while you're pumping and helps you to relax. So that relaxation is really important to keep up your milk supply. And if you're working and your job is crazy stressful, working on that meditation throughout the day can help you just be a happier person and produce more milk.
Yes. And it, oh my gosh, like I could say, as a pumping mom and breastfeeding, just being in a relaxed environment, whether I have some calm music playing or just something that makes me laugh, that puts me at ease and calm, has definitely increased, you know, my milk supply whenever I'm pumping, and also, you know, proper diet and nutrition as well. And, you know, Renee, we actually have our first caller in queue. So let's take a live caller and see what they have to say. So caller one, you are on air with Renee and I. Please state your name and where you're calling in from.
Hey, Genesis, it's Sherry Petito. How are you, sweetie?
I am doing well, the Jersey Jewel. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Wow, it's so nice to hear your voice again. How's your baby?
He is doing well, trying to wind down, looking at me. So
beautiful. So I want to say hello to your guest.
Hello.
I have a question. Hi, sweetheart. So I have a question. So I'm in my early 60s, and I breastfed, and I had natural childbirth at 20 years old. And they were so impressed that someone that young was doing this. They gave me 3 midwives in this room. It was amazing back then. It was in Robert Wood Johnson Hospital in New Brunswick. So I do everything natural, and Genesis knows I'm now a nutritional health coach, blah, blah, blah. I have a question for you. So I never pumped back then. You know, going back 40 years, right? Over 40 years. And, of course, our grandparents never pumped and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So do you recommend it for working moms? Would you prefer, like, if a mom was not working at home with a baby, for them not to pump? Isn't that healthier or more natural?
Well, you know what? That's a really good question. I was very fortunate because I had babies and I was able to stay home except for one day a week where I was a breastfeeding peer counselor at a WIC office. So
And that didn't start until my last biological child was over a year old. So I never pumped other than relaxation for my first kiddo. So in the perfect world, I would recommend that every baby stay home with their parent and only go exclusively to breast, because that's so wonderful and lovely. But that's not where we are. And
right.
People are living different lives now. And so I would recommend that the parent do whatever they want. So if you are a stay-at-home parent and you only want that baby at breast and you don't want them to have anything else, or I think that is wonderful. But we have to realize that people are in all kinds of different situations. And there are also parents who, because they want to get the heck away from those beautiful blessings from God every once in a while. So, and because we have the ACA, we're fortunate that that most parents that have babies get a breast pump. So, I mean, I have a hard time making that recommendation because I feel like I make it from my own lens of what I lived. And so I want parents to do what they want to do. So having a baby at breast is really important, like the baby directly to breast, because when a baby goes directly to breast, a little bit of their saliva goes up into the mother's body and they build antibodies to germs and viruses and whatever else to combat things that even the mother wasn't exposed to. So it's really important. But we know that that can happen a few times a day and they still create those. So in a perfect world, I would love everybody to be able to, or I'm feeling a little judgy. I don't want people to have to feel like they have to stay home with their babies all the time. But if they want to do that, I want them to be able to do that. Pumping is important for the people who have to do it and the people who choose to do it. So I support those parents in whatever their situation is. And we know that postpartum depression issues are really high. And if what it takes for that parent to find some emotional stability and mental stability is to pump a few times a day and get away from the kid and be able to restore their souls some other way, if that's what they need to do, I support that 100% too, whether it's work or not. So
I beautifully said.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just want people to find what they need, and hopefully
yeah.
they get the support in what they need.
Yes. Wow. Wow, you're awesome. Thank you for saying what you just said. Beautiful.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Bye,
and
Jenny.
And thank you so much. Thank you,
you're
Jerry.
Welcome.
And so for the – I always love having Jerry chime in. She is the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Lifetime Achiever, Jerry Petito, a.k.a. the Jersey Jewel. She's also a host here on WBNN. And now we're going to take our next caller. We have caller two in the queue. Caller, welcome in. You're on air live with myself, Genesis Amaris Kemp, and my co-host, Renee Davis. She is an IBCLC, International Board Certified Lactation Consultant. State your name and where you're calling in from.
Hi, Genesis, and hello to your guests. This is Tiana Speaks. You're doing a wonderful, wonderful job today, and educating me on things I did not know. I'm so glad that you're back after 7 months. You know, like, I get to hear you live. It's so awesome, like, absolutely awesome. You're doing an amazing job. And I just wanted to say that, you know, you're one of the most supportive people I've seen, you know, and I thank you for your support on my show. So I definitely had to call in and support your show. I wanted to ask you both a question. So in different cultures, have you ever did any research on different cultures and the way that they breastfeed, and have you implemented them in any way in your life?
Sure. So, Renee, I'll take this one first, and then I'll let you go if you don't mind.
Sure.
So, culturally, my mother is West Indian, so she's Caribbean, and my father is my father was from Curacao. So, you know, part of the ABC Islands, also Caribbean, or some people say South American. So just hearing from, like, what my mother did with both of my brothers, she nursed them for over a year. And then with me, I only did it for 5 months because I weaned myself off, but she did not pump. So just coming from, you know, a West Indian cultural background, some of the things that I'm doing in comparison to what my family, you know, did culturally, they're kind of like, oh, what is that? Like, my aunt literally came and visited not too long ago. I think it was a little bit before the Christmas holiday. And whenever I was, you know, getting ready to pump and I was hooking the things up, she's like, Gel, what is that on your breast? Oh, gosh, these are some new technologies. Oh, gosh, we did not have this stuff back in my day. And I was like, oh, this is my breast pump or whatnot. And she's like, what happened to, and then she, like, in her non-Caribbean accent, she's like, what happened to just wiping your breast off or, what happened to just wiping your breast off, or they say bubbies, and just having the baby pop on? And I said, okay, I do both. I have my daughter nurse at the breast, and then, you know, I pump because just in case I want to go out, like, she's not conducive to just only having my breast. There's someone else that could feed her, like, you know, my mom or my husband. So for me, even though culturally, like, they see it as one way, I am Americanized, and I need to do what works best for me and my family and also my daughter, because I do want her to have a variation when it comes to eating. Although, like, you know, I do respect what, you know, culturally my family, you know, did and does. And even, like, some of the techniques that they do, like, food-wise and et cetera, to just help increase the milk supply and et cetera, that's great. But, you know, here in where I live, sometimes you're not privy to have access to all of that stuff, and you have to drive further out to get, you know, different Caribbean things or different other cultural things. And it's like, you know, whenever you just have a baby, like, you're doing the best that you can, especially, like, if your partner is gone, you're home alone with the baby. Like, you need to do what works best for you and just roll with it, because everyone's story is not your story and everyone's thing is not going to be your thing. So I like to say salute to motherhood, because it is a hell of a journey. So I hope it answered your question. So, Renee, what's your take on this question?
Well, thank you. I would just like to say I completely agree with motherhood is one hell of a journey. But you know what? Over my time in this grand world of breastfeeding, it's funny because, you know, in lactation you end up being the boob lady to everybody. There are so many. Yeah, one of my friends calls me Booby. Like, that's my name, Booby. But the thing is there are so many different cultural perspectives on lactation that are very spiritual and very wonderful, and some of them are grounded in real truth, and some of them are grounded in cultural beliefs that may or may not be true. And so what I try to do in my guidance and my journey is completely respect where people are coming from and honor the lens that they're seeing it through, and helping them understand why their relatives and their important people are saying things, and when they come in from for example, there are some cultures that believe that colostrum is dangerous and that it should be expelled because the baby shouldn't have that. You know, I want to talk with that parent and help them understand that there are biological reasons for that, and honor them if they choose not to use that colostrum, because it's not up to me to make judgments on the decisions they make based on what their relatives are telling them, but I want to educate. And then there are also times where those cultural experiences are based in real, true
human, I don't even know what word to use for it. No matter what it is, I want to be respectful every time of everybody's experience and help them to learn the ins and outs of what they are being taught by their relatives, because their relatives are important to them and they love them. And there's nothing more important than love.
Wow, that's beautifully said. Thank you, Renee. Tania, does that help answer your question?
Yes, it does. It sheds some insight. Thank you so much. I wanted to say that my next show is going to be March 10th, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Before I go, though, something just popped in my head, a discussion that I had with my friend one time, and I just wanted to ask you, if you couldn't breastfeed at all, would you let another woman, like a sister or someone close to you, breastfeed your baby? And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'd breastfeed your baby. I'd breastfeed anybody. I don't know if that question was for me, but I don't care. Like, women are women, and that's a beautiful thing, and it's a gift.
No,
if
I'm asking you to
do that.
No, breastfeed your baby.
If that choice is made by the mother, it's a beautiful gift. And in some cultures, if women breastfeed other women's babies, they're considered milk siblings and they're not allowed to marry because there's a depth of connection. Yeah, it's beautiful.
I love it.
When people are forced to do that, that's not okay.
Wow. Thank
yes.
you for educating me.
I agree. And I think I would do that. Actually, my mom did that, like her and her sister, because whenever they had kids around the same age, like my mom said, oh, yeah, I breastfed your cousin. And then my aunt told me the same thing. I was like, interesting. And that was before, like, you know, I heard about, like, women donating their breast milk to the breast bank. And I actually had concerns about that because I was like, how is the milk clean and tested? And they're like, similar to when you donate your blood. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, you know, I didn't want to be naive to it, but I was like, I'm new to this, not fully true to it yet. But now that I know what I know now, almost 7 months in, I'm like, okay, I'm letting the ignorance go to the side and becoming more aware. So I'm cognizant, like, you know, whenever I'm having these conversations with someone like Renee or other women and moms, and let them know, hey, I'm here with you. I'm in the trenches with you, you know?
Yeah.
So thanks for asking that question, Tania.
You're so welcome. You're really wonderful, and I hope you guys have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Renee, that was our second caller. She's also a host here on WBNN. And we're going to do our next track. And then when we come back, I'm going to throw you an audible here. So, let's cue it up. We are... Beautiful. That was Mariah Carey, Hero. I truly believe all moms are heroes, even though we don't have an S on our chest or a cape on our back. We are our children's superhero. Want to show them unconditional love and all that jazz. So thank you so much, DJ Olasky, for playing that track. And now we've reached the top of the hour where we are into our final thoughts. Time has flown by so quickly. So, Renee, you're going to... I want you to share your final thoughts regarding, you know, our conversation tonight. And we also do have that special guest offer for all of those who tuned in tonight.
I'm just so thankful to have been here. I love the opportunity to talk to moms and love them up and be a part of the journey. If you need support, I don't want it to sound like a plug for our company, but you can find me at rumbletuff.com, RUMBLETUFF.com. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful to be a part of this journey of motherhood because it's not easy and we need each other.
Yes, absolutely, and I'm so thankful that you came on tonight as my co-host. And for those of you that tuned in tonight or you're listening to the replay, if you use the promo code GEMS, G-E-M-S, radio, you'll get a discount by going to rumbletuff.com. And Renee, can you share what the discount will give them?
Ooh, I think it's like 20% off. Isn't it 20% off? Forgive me. I think it's 20% off. And please know each time that you purchase a Rumble Tough breast pump, you get free breastfeeding support. You can go onto our website and schedule appointments with me for guidance for pumping and minor breastfeeding support free of charge if you are a Rumble Tough user. So RUMBLETUFF.com.
Amazing. And, you know, y'all, I could say as a user of the Rumble Tough Breeze Pump, as well as being a mother, their pump is awesome. It actually fits in the palm of your hand. And they have various flange sizes to choose from. That is incredible because a lot of the bigger companies out there, they only give you two different flange sizes, and they may be on the larger side that's not conducive for, you know, your needs. But if you need something smaller, Rumble Tough has that. And then also having a free lactation consultant without you having to pay the extra money there is just amazing. So I would definitely encourage you to take that into consideration. And another thing I would say is, you know, try multiple pumps to see which one is your best pump, you know, so we're not, you know, biased here. I have multiple pumps, and I'm so glad that, you know, Rumble Tough is one of the pumps I use, and I use my pumps interchangeably, and they work phenomenal because I want to make sure I'm getting the maximum milk output for my daughter and myself. And now it's actually working better for me because I have the right flange sizes and I know what my nipple diameter is, thankfully to Renee. So now we're going to head into Ngozi time.
I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying, you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying. Gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna
struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, sometimes I knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember most, yeah. Just gotta keep going.
Music was just absolutely magnificent tonight, Brother O. Wonderful selections. And I truly enjoyed this show tonight, Genesis Amaris Kemp with the gems. And welcome back, Genesis. Welcome back on the air. It is so great to hear you tonight hosting. And God bless you tonight and your guest. And I really enjoyed her. And that was so magnificent, talking about lactating moms and, you know, all of that. I am a mother of eight. Thank God all of my children are adults now. But I did breastfeed all eight of my children. I had natural birth with all, well, except for the first one. The first child, I did get an epidural because it was so painful and I was really young, and I tried to endure it, but at one point I'm like, I need something. So I did get an epidural. But after that, all of my children were all natural and all breastfed, and none of them ever had any diseases or anything like that, no sicknesses, because the colostrum is very, very important. And I usually tell expectant mothers to make sure if they're not going to breastfeed, if they don't plan on breastfeeding, to definitely give that baby the colostrum, because that builds the immunity. With that colostrum, they don't need to be vaccinated or immunized. None of my children were immunized, and they never had any sicknesses. So that colostrum is very important, and it's sad to hear that some cultures tell them it's not good to have the colostrum. That's like mind-blowing. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy, but that colostrum is the best defense against sickness and any type of disease. So mothers, that colostrum, definitely give your babies that, even if you don't plan on breastfeeding. And it's so funny, my 31-year-old son, he breastfed until he was like 3.5 years old. And I had to literally like try to tell him, okay, that's enough, because he was trying to take all the milk away from his baby brother. So it was so funny. But I did do a combination of feeding from the breast and pumping. With my first child, I was in college, and I used to pump so that she could be fed when my mom would babysit her or my grandmother would babysit for me. I would pump my milk, and it was the old-fashioned hand pump. And, oh, my God, that was so, so painful using that hand pump. And I'm like, oh, my God, I hated pumping. And then my other children, my next child wasn't to 10 years after my first. So then by that time they had, you know, some electronic pumps out, and they weren't all that great, but they were, you know, much better than that hand pump. And so I did, pump then too, but not as much, because I stayed home with all of my kids until they were weaned off of the breast milk. But when I would go to meetings and different things like that and I had to pump, I would pump. And I still did not like pumping the milk out because it still was a bit painful, although it was electronic. That suction still was there, and it just wasn't the same as the baby feeding. And so, but I did breastfeed all of my children. And ladies, it's a wonderful feeling to be able to continue to nurture and nourish your child. So please try it, at least for a little while, you know, at least. You don't have to breastfeed forever, but do try it. And it just gives that connection, a more deeper connection with you and your child, baby and mother's bonding. Through you feeding your baby, and is that so amazing? The baby's looking up at you, and, you know, they're so happy they're eating, and, you know, it's just amazing, an amazing experience, and I enjoy every bit of it, all eight children, and, you know, if I had eight more children, I would do it again. I would definitely continue to breastfeed. It's the way to go. And after the babies are weaned off of that breast milk, ladies, guess what? They don't need any more milk. Because we're not cows, okay? We're not kittens, okay? We're not dogs. But, you know, people give their babies and children cow milk. But if we look at the animals, after the animals are weaned off of the breast milk, they don't go running to a supermarket to get somebody else's milk or go into another animal to give their baby some other kind of milk, okay? We're the only ones that do that. And we shouldn't. After that breast milk, that's it. Your baby doesn't need that dairy because dairy is scary. But anyway, I really enjoyed the show tonight, Genesis. And again, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. And make sure you guys tune in Sunday night to News Forum. That's my show, Sunday night, 9:30 p.m. And we're going to feature two wrongful conviction cases and one case update. That's going to really literally blow your mind. If you guys remember the young man that was on, who while he was wrongfully incarcerated, the COs there beat him to the point of leaving him paralyzed. And so he's exonerated now, but he's paralyzed from the waist down. And that's such a shame. So we're going to have an update on that case on Sunday. All right, everybody. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Malewe at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight? Whew, jeez. Oladele.Ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malewe Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Stay tuned for International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrining Terror Strength and Know Your Rights. That's tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on WBNN, or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. Now, back to Genesis, Amaris Kemp with Gems.
So, thank you so much, Dr. Chinchilla J, for sharing your take on the message and welcoming back on this fantastic airwaves. Once again, I want to salute to the motherhood journey out there. For all you mamas out there doing something fabulous, whether you're breastfeeding, you're pumping, you're doing a combination of both, or you're doing combo feeding, you are a superhero, and I'm here for you. Renee Davis, the IBCLC, is also here for you. You can find her at RumbleTuff. You could also find her on social media as well. And for those of you that are interested in picking up some merchandise, head on over to RumbleTuff.com and use the promo code GEMS, G-E-M-S, radio, to get a discount on your purchase. And for those of you that are interested in learning more about me, the host, Ms. Genesis Amaris Kemp, you can go to my website, genesisamariskemp.net. I'm also on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok now, and some other channels at Genesis Amaris Kemp. And I'm in this journey with you. You are not alone, so feel free to reach out to me and connect with me and learn more about the endeavors that I have here on WBNN as a host or my podcast, GEMS, with Genesis Amaris Kemp, which is available on 40-plus audio platforms and our YouTube channel. Y'all, I want to thank you so much for tuning in tonight and listening to this fabulous segment and getting all of the incredible information that Renee Davis had to share. Renee, any last thoughts before we depart this evening?
Oh, I'm just so thankful to have been here, and I honor you, Genesis. You are doing an amazing job of this motherhood journey. Thank you for allowing me to be a very, very small part, and I'm honored to be here, and I hope that I get to partner with other people on their journey along the way, and thank you, everybody. Have a great night, and you're doing a great job.
Good evening. Good night, y'all. Catch this. Again, share with a family member. Share with some friends, and let them know they are not alone on their journey. There is lactation consultants out there. There are peer counselors. There's tools. There's resources. There's something for everybody on their respective journey. So I challenge you to plug in, get connected, and do the damn thing, because you got this, y'all. Signing out, Genesis Amaris Kemp, Renee Davis, and our fellow WBNN, Ngozi Time Multimedia. Thank you so much for tuning in, y'all.